right now I've got less than 15 minutes. Would anybody give me 5 more minutes? Okay, 5, 10, 15. I stole that from Adam Solorio. No, I tell you what, I'm going to just get to the heart of it. Sometimes as a speaker, you want to set things up so that understanding comes as quickly as possible. One thing I want to say that add in that's personal, I had forgotten that October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and I found out because I saw the slide up here. But I would like to tell you the things that I appreciate really the most. I appreciate every gift and kindness and things such as that. But for this particular year, what I would appreciate most is a card, or taking a risk, a real risk, and sitting 2 pews closer, or just giving a word of encouragement. If you were planning on doing anything financially, like a gift card, etc., I would ask that instead of that, I would appreciate if you would support Operation Christmas Child instead. Okay? Now, as we look in Malachi, I had a friend that joked and said that's the Italian book. And I said, what do you mean? Well, his name is Malachi. You know, it doesn't matter how you pronounce it. The promises and the warnings are true. Because this is a warning to us. Because Israel had gotten itself into a state where it was like a long drive at night. I've been part of many drives through the night. And if you're smart, you'll have a shotgun that stays up with you that helps keep you awake. But it almost never happens that way. The only thing keeping you awake from the shotgun seat is the snoring, okay? And as you go, one thing about driving at night, we just had a testimony that works great about, seeing the grandeur of God's creation. You don't get that at night. You don't have distractions. It is a narrow tunnel vision of lines going like this all morning long. And you're tired anyway. It's the same old that comes at you every single time. It's dark. No matter where you are, even if you're in a desert that's hot in the day, it's cold at night. And you're just waiting for the morning. And where Israel was in their faith was on that drive. Things were boring in worship. There was no justice. There was no vision of the grandeur of God and His mercy toward us. And there was no sliver of light that anything was going to change. Things that were against scriptural mandates were being celebrated as good, and not only celebrated as good, but said that God approves it. I'm sure that's not foreign to your ears. Justice was a foreign idea. Even the religious leaders were not true to justice. And this is just before God's silence for 400 years. I don't know about you, but when my mom got silent, I knew there was real trouble coming. And that's how I would interpret the 400 years. But I also know that just before you have a great event, just before a play starts, before something else, there is silence in the audience. And sometimes there is an MC that comes and tells you what is going to happen. And actually, this MC, Malachi, not only tells us what is going to happen, but tells us there will be another MC that tells us when it begins after the silence. Malachi's prophecies become that thin light, that thin line of light on the horizon when the lines have just been passing you. And all of a sudden, you know morning is coming. If I've had a drive through the night and I see that light coming up, all of a sudden it invigorates me a little bit. It gives me hope. It lets me know I've gone a long way toward my destination. And so Malachi gives us that roadmap. He says this, "Behold, I send my messenger. He will prepare the way before me." Now I want you to note two things. We know that John the Baptist came to prepare the way before Jesus. But God is saying here, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." God is the speaker. God is preparing the way to be among his people. Now, I just want you to know the New Testament fulfillment is in several ways. John 1:23 speaks of John the Baptist, where he says, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord." We did some driving this last week. We had a small family vacation. And I just took a moment to marvel at the engineering accomplishment of the United States interstate system, where it was mandated that there had to be a certain distance of straight roads wherever possible, and that the low valleys are raised up. You didn't have to go all the way down, winding the hill, cross the creek, and go back up the hill just to get a mile down the road. And John did that. He created a situation where there, out of the chaos, he was able to make clear that God was coming. And he prepared the hearts of the people so that they were ready to accept him and do what God was doing in his time. John the Baptist, Jesus said of him, if you accept it, he is Elijah. Because in Malachi, in another place, it says Elijah is going to come before this. And Jesus specifically says, this is the one that's fulfillment of that. There is an MC before the show, always an introduction before the program, an overture before a musical, and announcements before a worship service. But before Messiah steps onto the stage, God sends his forerunner so that we would know. My friends, in the 400 years of God's silence, that doesn't mean the people were silent. There were people all the time saying they were fulfillment of the promise. And even before Jesus, there were people who said they were fulfillment of the promise. Because even as the Pharisees and the Sadducees were trying to figure out what to do with this story from the disciples that Jesus was resurrected, and one of them said, "Look, leave it alone. You remember that other fella that said that he was Messiah? He had a good following, but it fizzled out. But if God is for it, who can be against it?" We now have 2,000 years of knowing that Jesus is the fulfillment of Scripture, don't we? And because we do, we can also know that his word is true, even if there are scary things that are in it. Now, we think about refiner's fire and, you know, things such as that. But we know that God still prepares our hearts before he performs his work. So when we hear about a refiner's fire, it is not just to put us through the paces. It's not just to make us suffer. It is not just to put the heat to our, you know, our feet to the fire. It is to prepare us because he calls us. When God shows up, things change. And if you don't want to be in the refiner's fire, you better not be in his presence. Because, as I've said before, and this is not native to me, God loves us just the way we are, but he loves us too much to let us stay that way. He has paid too much of a price to change us and give us that opportunity to be free, to be healed, to be full. So the messenger of the covenant comes. Malachi 3:1-3. "The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. Luke 2:27-32 says, the Lord comes to his temple as Simeon rejoices. Jesus, an 8-year-old Jesus, suddenly comes. And both Simeon and Anna, who have been looking for the coming of Messiah, suddenly see him. And they rejoice because they know they're close to the end of their life. And God has revealed to them that their Messiah has come. Jesus is the fulfillment of it. In John 2:13-17, Jesus had been to the temple several times before this, but this time he comes as a purifier. He drives the sellers and the money exchangers out of the temple because they were doing it in the court of the Gentiles. And he says that court was made for prayer so that the Gentiles could come. You see, Jesus refines his temple, and he refines his temple in us. In fact, Hebrews 8:6 says this, but in fact, the ministry Jesus has received, this is in reference to the other priests and the ones that are not keeping the temple clean. He says, but in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. Christ is the mediator of a better covenant, and he will always keep it fresh and refined and new. Messiah has come to cleanse. But let me tell you, when you are refined as silver, I collect coins. It's really hard to clean silver. And once you clean pure silver, it's going to be dirty again real soon if you don't do something about it. One of the things that I collect is Morgan dollars. They are 90% silver, but they are 10% copper. And if you want a pure silver, you can't just rub it. You can't just take polish. Never do that to your coins, by the way. But if I am looking for pure silver, there is only one way to get it. Why can't I just rub it with a cloth and purify it? Because the impurity is hard stamped into the coin. And it's in it on a molecular level. And we think if we just clean up our life a little bit, a little polish here, a little water there, a little better living, stop doing this habit, that we can make ourselves pure. But nothing is further from the truth. Because you see, if I take that coin in to give it to a coin dealer, they're going to not necessarily look at it, especially if it's worn. They're not going to look at it as intrinsically valued in the dollar itself. It says a dollar. But if I want the silver value, which right now is at about $50 an ounce, okay? If I want the silver value, you know what they're going to pay me for? 90% of the weight of the coin. Because the impurities in the coin mean nothing. And he takes that coin and he doesn't put it in his safe for when somebody might want to collect that coin. He gives it to a person to melt it. And when they melt it, they will put flux in and dross and different levels of heat so that the copper separates from the silver. And all the impurities and all the dross are skimmed off of the top so that it is pure. The only thing worth anything is the melt value. Can I tell you, it's the same in the spiritual world. God didn't use this by accident, because the only thing that is of worth for us is the milk value. That which is pure, that which is from the Spirit, that which we recognize that we didn't clean ourselves up at all. And even if you look at Scripture in John, it tells us that no one comes to the Father except the Father draws them. So we can't even be good Armenians if we want to do that. Armenians believe that we choose God. Well, I think it's kind of I don't think we could choose God without God letting us choose God. He gives us the option and opens the door. How can we ever make ourselves acceptable to God? Now, I have to tell, I want to remind you that this refining fire is a process. It's not a one and done. Even if you take that silver out of the fire, and it's pure silver, and you put it aside, if you don't pay attention to it, it's going to get tarnished. Very quickly. A silversmith once said, I alluded to this, but I've got the real quote. I know the silver is pure when I can see my reflection in it. So even though it's in the liquid state and red hot, if the refiner can look down and see his or her reflection, then the refiner knows it's pure. Because all the impurities, guess what comes to the top when the heat hits? The dross, the dirt, the impurity. Is there any reason why we are afraid of the difficult times in life? It's because it will show what's really in your heart. What's really in my heart. Sometimes I feel it rise. But let me close with this. God's reign restores us. That's our good news. Luke 1, 78 through 79. I had missed this before, but in reading I saw it. It says that the rising sun shall come to us, not like on the horizon of the drive, but the rising sun will come to us from heaven. And that promise tells us that Jesus is coming. John 8, 12, that promise said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have, listen, the light of life. I hated driving toward the sunrise, but I loved driving toward the sunrise. Two reasons. It was pretty bright after being through the long dark night, but it was pretty warm when it hit my body. So, I'm glad that you are coming forward. You can sense I'm about done, or you were hoping I was about done. I'm not sure. When Jesus shines on your life, healing comes to wounds, to relationships, and to weary souls. And it is a process, and it's not going to be done until He comes again. And when He does, may His face shine fully in us. Amen.